Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Good morning. You know, I used to, when I prayed, have an image of Christ in my head. You know, the long hair and the beard. And now I just see a guy in a blue suit with a red bow tie. It's a bit of a Gateway thing. Thanks, Ruth. Well, good morning. Welcome to our new series, Mind the Gap. And over the next 6 or so weeks, we're going to be trying to get our head around the gaps that we find in life and how faith plays a part for us in helping to bridge the difference. We're using a book. If you want to get the book and read it, it's great. We're not going to be covering everything in it, but Graham Hooper wrote a book called Undivided, and in it he says, every generation struggles with a gap between how we think God should behave and what actually happens. I think that's very true. I find myself agreeing with that statement quite a lot. You see, this is where we who profess to follow Jesus often have our faith tested, which is in the gaps. In the gaps. When things are going well, often we don't think much about our faith, really. We sort of flow along with it. But when things start to, we start to struggle with things, or when we see things that aren't right in our mind, that's when our faith is really tested. There's an outline in your information pack, and you can follow along with that. Here's a few of the gaps that we're going to look at in the next several weeks. The first gap is that between the God of answers and the life of questions. We have more questions in our life than we can find answers for, and that's no different than our faith. The more we know about God, the more there is to know. The more we try to understand life and what our purpose is here, the more there is to know. That's why, just as a segue, I really recommend Alpha. I've done Alpha a few times as a participant and a few as an instructor, and I really commend it to you. It really helps to lock in issues of faith that sometimes we take for granted. So whether you're a brand new believer, or whether you're maybe on the journey towards belief, or whether you're a crusty old Christian like me, I recommend Alpha to you. It's really great if you haven't done it. And more importantly, if you have done it, maybe grab someone that you know who hasn't done it and invite them to come with you and do it with them again, and rekindle the joy in your life of watching someone discover faith and understand faith. It's like being with a small child when they discover things for the first time. It's a great, great feeling. But we're looking at a gap today, the God of answers and the life of questions. We're also going to look at in coming weeks how God sees me and how I see myself, because surprisingly it's different. We're going to look at what faith in God requires and how I behave. Now, some people think, well, I'm a good person, I do good things, therefore God should love me. I think what we'll discover in that week is that, well, God loves us anyway, and our good things, the good things we do or say, don't earn us any bicky points for eternity or get us to heaven, but the good things we do should flow out of our love for God and His goodness towards us. But we're going to look at that in weeks to come. We're going to look at the world God created and the world we know. That was referred to in the drama we just saw, where God in the blue suit said, well, this world isn't the way He wanted it either. So if we think, you know, this is not fair, God probably get in the line behind God, because I think He would say the same thing. We're going to look at the God of wisdom and the wisdom of the world. We live in a Western secular culture here, and we are super affected by many, many attitudes and values which are not godly. And some of them we don't even realize that we're following. We think we're being godly, but we're often not. And so we're going to look at what happens when we see a disparity there. And then we're going to look at God's measure of success and what the world demands of us. You know, many of us live a life where we think that, you know, getting a good job and increasing salary and increasing responsibility and a bigger car or a better car and a home and a bigger home and all those kind of things, you know, and the best friends and the great holidays and the tremendous Instagram shots. Well, maybe not that, but we all have a measure of success for ourselves. And God has a very different measure of success for humanity than what we can imagine. And so we're going to look at that. Is that good? So just hang around. I really encourage you to come in the next several weeks. I mean, why wouldn't you be in a place where you can get encouraged and be enfolded in the love of God and find understanding and all those sort of things? Now, having set up the questions for this series, it would be foolish of me or anyone to try and find pat answers to any of those questions. And my experience as a person of faith for a few decades now is that often the question is the journey, not the destination. Often I find that the question isn't meant, sometimes the question isn't meant to have a set answer, but the question is meant to direct me towards the God who has them. And I've come to realize that there are many questions that I have, and believe me, I have a list that I won't know until I get to heaven. And that really is the reality of what we're talking about in this series, is that there's a gap in our understanding that won't be closed until we get to eternity. But in the meantime, we can consider the way adverse circumstances and personal crises affect us. They affect us all, and how they challenge our understanding of God and how they test our faith. I mean, Gateway's motto is real life, and so we want to connect with real life, and in real life we have questions. In real life, we have tests of faith as we're challenged in all kinds of ways, out of our comfort zone and out of the zone that we think we want to live in, to a place where God can continue to challenge us. But for today, we're going to ask a question that I think all people have asked at some stage. And that is this, and it's on your outline. If God is all-loving, all-powerful, and all-just, why do injustice and suffering exist? I just thought I'd start with the easiest question on the planet this morning. If God is all-loving, all-powerful, and all-just, why do injustice and suffering exist? And before I go on, I'll go back to my previous statement and say that not all questions have answers or destinations, but they are meant to journey us towards a loving God. So let me just say right up front this morning, I am not going to answer that question in full. It's not my intention to provide you with pat answers or to take away from you the journey that you need to have in discovering God through the injustice and the suffering, and you discovering a place where you can be with God in that despite a broken world. So just let me say that up right up front. If you came to get an answer to that, it's not too late to cut out for coffee if you want to. But the rest of us are just going to sit in the moment and we're going to just struggle with what happens when those kind of questions come towards you. Because the answer depends on your relationship to God. The answer depends on your relationship to God. You know, at the core of Christianity is a relationship. It's not religion, it's not rules. At the core of the Christian faith, despite what you may see and what you might have heard, at the core of Christianity is a relationship with a person, a living God, Jesus, who lived, died, but who resurrected to heaven and is alive now at the right hand of the Father. That is the person that we believe in. That is the person at the core of Christianity. And such a relationship is built around our trust in Him. So our answers to life come out of the depth of our trust in Him. And that's a difficult thing sometimes to grab hold of, but it's true. You know, we trust in a person, not a concept, not a creed, not a religious doctrine. We trust in a person. And there's a world of difference between saying, well, I believe in God, and I trust in God. There is a world of difference between saying, I believe in God, and I trust in God. And you think about it, even the devil believes in Jesus. And you can read in Scripture where they talked to each other and they battled with each other. Jesus and the devil are real, and the devil believes in Jesus. So you could say just believing in Jesus makes you no better than the devil. But a lot of people say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, not just all that other sort of stuff. But there's a world of difference. And this is it. Now, when you say, I believe in God, it requires no effort. It doesn't have to influence your life. It's just something that you believe in, like the Easter Bunny. Now, there are young ears in the room this morning. And can I just say, I believe in the Easter Bunny. I believe in chocolate and its power of restoration and healing. So bring on the Easter Bunny. But you know what I'm saying? It's not going to change your life. Okay, the Easter Bunny did not come to change your life. Yeah. But Jesus did. But Jesus did. So you can believe in the Easter Bunny, you can believe in God, but that really is as far as it takes you. But when you say, I trust in God, that's entirely different. It's entirely different. That takes her humility of spirit to place someone above you and say, I trust in God. It takes discipline in life to continue in that place of trust despite what circumstances are saying. And it takes a commitment to obeying God and what his word says, whether you agree with it or not. And it takes trust to claim his promises in your life, some of which are yet to come. So trust and belief, very, very different things. And you will not be able to mind the gap until you get to a place of trust. Now, you may be on a journey of faith, as I said today, and that's cool, that's totally okay. And you may say, well, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about the rest. Keep going. You know, they say when you're going through hell, don't stop, keep going. Go towards God. And your journey of faith must lead you to a place of trusting God, or you're shortchanging yourself. And you're not receiving all that God wants from you. Look up the dictionary and look at the definition of God, and you'll kind of see that he's different to you. By definition, if he's God, he deserves our trust regardless of what happens in life. But as human beings, we like to kick and scratch and complain and whine and whinge, just like our children do at times. And God understands that. He doesn't stop loving us. But his hope for us is that we go from a place of immaturity to a place of maturity in God and grow up into that trusting him despite what happens, even though it's hard and it's painful. And I'll talk about that a bit in a minute. You know, trust is the basis of any successful relationship. You cannot have a successful relationship unless there is trust. You trust your friends to be there for help and support. Otherwise, you wouldn't call them your friends. They'd just be those people over there that you vaguely remember or are vaguely familiar, but you don't remember their name. Husbands and wives trust each other to keep their vows, vows of love and fidelity, you know, till death do us part. Business partners trust each other to deal honestly with them and with their customers. I mean, why would you go into business with a person and invest your life and your money if you didn't trust them? If you didn't trust that they were going to bring something to the table, you didn't trust that they were going to work with you in creating that product or communicating that idea and delivering that income and sharing it and dealing honorably with customers so that you don't rip anybody off. You wouldn't go into business with someone who was going to do the opposite of that, would you? You wouldn't. Some of you aren't sure. The answer is no, I wouldn't. That's the correct answer. Trust is also the basis of a free and fair society. We take this for granted in Australia. Every day I see people taking this for granted. But it's the basis of a free and fair society. Western liberal democracy is what we have and what we should cherish. You see, we trust people every day to do the right thing. We trust, look at the person next to you. You trust them to do the right thing every day. Not that we always do. We trust people to go to work and to do their work properly and diligently, because that makes the economy work and it delivers the goods and services and things that we want and the income that others earn. You see what I mean? We're trusting people. We just wake up every day thinking people are going to do that. We think that people are going to drive safely on the road. You jump in the car and you don't think of the 100 people who are drug affected or alcohol affected or who are just idiots and who are going to disobey road laws. You don't do that. You jump in your car and you've got in mind where you want to go, but implicitly you're trusting a person on the road to do the right thing. Trust is also what we put in our medical experts and our aircraft pilots and our kids' school teachers, for goodness sake. We trust civic leaders that they will put the interests of the common good before their own. Now, in all of those situations, we know that humans are frail and they don't always do the right thing. But the basic equilibrium of our life is that we start from a basis of trust in those things. Trust is also crucial to having a relationship with God. If you want a vital, living, powerful, effective relationship with God, then you must go towards trust in him. And that's not because of, you know, how strong you are. It's about all about him, because our trust is in him, not in ourself or even in our own ability to trust. That's where Christian maturity comes from. And God gives us a really strong promise about this. A really, really strong promise. It's so strong he put it in writing. And here it is. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. Psalm 32:10. You can take that to the bank. Those who trust in God, not just believe in him when things are going right, but those who trust in him at all times, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds you. And that is no small thing. It is no small thing, because when we get to the end of our resources, when we get to the end of ourselves and even our friends and family don't know what to do, there is God. Unfailing, always certain, because we trust in him. That is a huge promise. A huge promise that should undergird how we go about living life. But here's some more specifics about where we're called to trust in God so that we can define it a bit. Firstly, I believe we're called to trust in God in times of fear. You know, the Bible says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Last year, I had some medical issues in my life, and I had several weeks in hospital for various times. And at one time, in the early passage of that, I had to be immobilized so that operation that I had wouldn't go south. And I was laying in bed, unable to move much, and my mind was starting to run on, you know, are they doing this because something went wrong in the operation? Nobody's, in the hospital, nobody talks to you. So it's like, and my mind was racing, and I can remember physically starting to sweat as my anxiety levels went through the roof. And my anxiety led to doubt, and my doubts led to fears. And all of a sudden, the reason that Marcy hadn't come in to visit me yet was that I was dying and she didn't have the heart to tell me. So it's like, I know I'm making fun of that, but I'm doing that so I don't cry on stage. But it was a very difficult time. And I can tell you, I confronted fear and anxiety in ways that I have never in my life before. And at that moment, faith kicked in. Praise God. It was just like, well, you know what? I'm going to trust God. And if I die, it's a promotion. I go from senior pastor to heaven. That's a pretty good step, all right? So self-talking, in times of fear, we're trusting God. He has it. He's got us in his hand. The second thing is in times of worry, similar to fear, but maybe a step down. The Bible says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Instead, seek God. Here's a newsflash. Worry never helps. Can I see the hands of those people who worry a lot and it's made everything all right and better? I saw a few hands go, oh, no, that wasn't the question he was asking me. I worry a lot, it didn't make it better. It never works. It never makes it better. It never does. I tweeted during the week that worry is just the interest we pay on trouble before it happens. You know, worry is the extra pain that we put ourselves through before something happens. Even things that actually never happen, we worry about if they're going to, and it's the interest that we pay on that debt of pain and worry. And it's unnecessary, and it's unhelpful, and it doesn't work. Now, I am a human being, and I often struggle to keep worry from my brain. And I know that many of you would be the same, given enough pressure in your life. So whilst we can't stop worries crowding our thoughts, we can decide how we deal with them. That's where faith kicks in. That's where trust in God kicks in. And here's the thing. Here's the thing I learnt laying in my hospital bed. We can turn our worries into prayers. Instead of worrying our life, we should pray our life. And yes, it's similar, it's different, it's subtle, but it's better. Because the Bible says, do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. And the peace of God that passes understanding will be yours in Christ Jesus. Now, some of you may not have got to the stage yet where you have to pray. For many of you, prayer is a voluntary activity. But sometimes God takes trials and tests and impresses him in our life, and he gets us to a point where we pray, because that's all we can do. And when you're in that place, you are in a blessed place. A place where only God is a special place indeed. We're also, thirdly, to pray in times of opposition. You know, when someone doesn't like our Facebook post as quickly as we'd like them to. Or someone at work, you know, does the dirty on us, or we hear that there's a rumor out there. Or gossip, if you're a pastor, you've never heard any gossip about you, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but maybe you guys have been gossiped about in your life. But, you know, the psalmist says, I trust in you, Lord. Do not let my enemies triumph over me. And one thing I know about the God I trust is that he is just and he will bring judgment. And so one day, there's going to be a level playing field. But it may not be today. But in the meantime, I trust in him even when I'm being opposed. Fourthly, times of injustice. We're to trust God in times of injustice. You know, there's a lot of things that we can see today on Instagram or Facebook which are very unjust. And we have many, many hundreds of people who remind us of things that are unjust that we didn't think were unjust, but they think are unjust. And so we're living in a society of offense. It's very typical today for people to take offense about everything and anything and try and summon a group of people to be on their side in this hatred of injustice. Now, having said that, I understand injustice, and this church works tirelessly in the third world in Papua New Guinea to help eradicate injustices to those people. So I'm not taking that lightly. But, you know, when we look around our Western culture here in Melbourne, and I look around the room, there are injustices in life, but compared to some of the injustices, for instance, currently in Syria, which is being bombed or gassed by their own leaders, whichever one you want, there's a different level of injustice, isn't it? Come on, you got to admit that. So when we come across injustices, again, we know that one day God's going to level it out. So it says, do not fret because of those who do evil, for they will soon wither like grass. And the Assads of this life are not always going to be here. Number five, in times of political uncertainty, we're to trust in God. I know we never have political uncertainty in Australia. It's all horses and rainbows in Canberra and in Spring Street. But it says in the Bible, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. So, you know, we shouldn't be looking to our politicians just to agree with us and do what we want. You know, that's why people think they vote, to get politicians to do what they want. There is something called the common good that we should be all invested in. And I'll speak about that another day. But in times of political uncertainty, we don't look to our princes. We don't look to our elected politicians. We go way beyond them to God. And our prayer, my prayer often is, God, be in the heart of that politician or that particular group that they may act righteously. Act righteously. And then I can live with that. So political uncertainty shouldn't spin us out. We need to trust above that in God. And finally, in times of pain and grief, which I've spoken a little bit about already, but, you know, the Bible says the Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking. And here's the thing. The good man, the good person, does not escape all troubles. He has them too. This is what I love about the Bible. That's why our motto in this church is real life, because the Bible is real. The Bible does not skirt over the reality of life. The good man does not escape troubles. Most of us in this room would think that we're good. Basically a good person, not an axe murderer. I don't think there's any axe murderers here today. If you are, you're welcome. Just don't practice what you preach. The good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. The Bible tells us that in this life you will have trials and troubles. You will. No question. If you're human, you will have troubles. But the Lord helps us in each and every one. That is a great promise of God. That is one of the benefits of faith that goes beyond those who don't believe or those who are in a secular society who only believe in God and don't trust in him. We have a God who is with us in pain and grief, and he is not without experience in that. If you know anything about the life of Jesus, who was God, and what happened to him, what we did to him while he was on this earth, you don't need to worry about God understanding or or identifying with pain and suffering and death and trial and tribulation. In these and other troubling times, we must remind ourselves at the end of the day that this life is not all there is. This life is wonderful and it's to be enjoyed and fully lived, but it's not all there is. We are passing through. God is an eternal being. He is not like us. He does not think like us. He has an eternal perspective. And our life, whether we live 8 seconds or 120 years, just to capture everybody in the room, that is just a blip on the timeline of eternity. And it's not to say that this life doesn't matter. It does matter because God gave it to us. But it's not all there is. And if you're a person of faith, if you're wanting to move from belief to trusting God, you have to keep telling yourself, this is not all there is. This is not all there is. God will one day address every wrong. He will answer every question. He will wipe every tear from every eye. Can I get an amen to that? But it may not happen as we want it to, and it may not happen in this lifetime. The question we must ask ourselves is, do we really trust him? Or only when things are going well? That's the big question that frames this whole series about minding the gap. Do we trust God, really? Can we lean into that trust more? We say, well, you know, I do trust God, but you know, like, there's all this stuff. Okay, can you press into that trust more? Can you learn more about him from his word? Can you gain more encouragement from being amongst God's people? Again, that's another reason why we do this on a Sunday. Not just because there's a good show happening or a guy in a blue suit and a red bow tie. Coming to press into God, to build our trust in him, to encourage one another and uphold each other as we discover more about God. That's what coming to a worship service is about. But our society paints it entirely differently, and we go, oh, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or that pastor's good, or that pastor's bad, and we shape-shift around, and we never get to the point. We never get to the point of sinking our roots deep and building trust in God, regardless. And if we think about it really hard, most of us have some good things that happen in our life. Most of us have good things happen. And we need to hang on to them. The final fill-in for you on your outline is this, and this is the biggie. Trust opens the door to hope. Trust opens the door to hope. Hope is looking forward with joyful anticipation to what God has in store for us. Hallelujah. That's what having Jesus, the Spirit of God in you, that trust, building and growing from a seed, you know, into a tree, that's what it means. That this life isn't all there is, and we have a joyful anticipation that one day there will be a day. And a whole bunch of days, and a string of days, and an eternity of days. We will no longer have to fear or worry or be opposed, or there will be no injustice or uncertainty or pain or grief. That one day we will transition through that to a greater glory if we have put our trust and hope in Jesus. And that's the thing for you today. If you're here on a journey, great. But I don't want you just to think that the journey is getting used to coming to church and all that churchy stuff, and one day it'll be normal to you. It's well, way more than that. The journey is to Jesus. And the journey beyond that is building trust in him in these uncertain times, in this sometimes uncertain world. Now, Graham Hooper in his book says, there is a distorted view in Western secular culture that we should just live for the moment. And yes, we should seize all opportunities, but if we forget or ignore the promise of life beyond the grave, then we have too narrow a focus. Amen? We naturally spend most of our time dealing with daily issues. That's normal. But we need to pay greater attention to what will be. To our future hope. It's a gift God gives to all those who trust in him. We hope we have And we have a sense of waiting and longing for the fulfillment of God's promises and the answer to all things. That's a great, great statement. It's a terrific book. The Apostle Paul said it this way: "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation," not just you, "all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. With eager hope, creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Creation itself will join with the believers in Christ, and we will escape death and decay forever. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of that future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering and pain and joint pain and neck pain and headaches and weight gain and everything else that we struggle with. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us." Yeah, I'll be back. "We were given this hope when we trusted in him, but we must wait patiently and confidently." Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me this morning? You know, times of despair, depression, or bereavement can quickly drive a wedge between our joy and the peace that we feel as we stand here in this place and our actually daily experience. There's no doubt about that. The question becomes, how is this gap to be closed? And ultimately, it will only be closed when the great enemy of humanity, which is death, is overcome and death is no more. We have a foretaste of that now. That's the good news. A foretaste of that now in this life. Whenever we see hope triumph over despair, like last week in our baptism service when we saw testimonies of how God had been faithful and drawn people to him and helped them overcome and be sustained in difficult times, even though those difficult times didn't pass quickly. I draw great strength from that as I listen to the testimonies of the faithful. The Apostle Peter prayed, "In keeping with God's promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Amen? Are we looking forward to a time when righteousness dwells here on earth? I am. We get there by trusting in God. Despite the big questions of life, we trust in him. Bow your heads as I just say an ending prayer. Lord, we come to you today and we ask that you help us to have even more trust in you, to go beyond belief and narrow understandings and human frailty, but to go deep into our trust with you. And we wait, Lord, for a future time when we're going to be redeemed and with you forever, where pain and suffering and trouble and trial will be no more. But whilst we remain here, may we keep our feet on the ground. May we keep our hands to the plow, and may our hearts always be turned towards heaven. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.